Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Bob Hunt is the superintendent of Barrington School District 220. And, you know, all of these people are really committed to their jobs. I'm thinking about the school personnel that I've talked to through the pandemic. They are, many of them, invigorated by the challenge. I think they have all made decisions in the best interest of their communities. But what happens when the community is split on something like that? Dr. Bob, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what's going on there in your school district? What are you going to do in the fall?
I think every school district is kind of currently struggling with those decisions as, you know, guidance starts to creep out. And, you know, I think the positive direction is there's been a move towards more kind of local control and local decision making. So we're working with our kind of executive team, our teachers, unions, and our Board of Education right now. On kind of the best path forward. So
I thought it was going to be CDC sets the policy, IDPH follows the policy, and the schools follow the IDPH, the Department of Public Health here. It's not top-down like that, huh?
Well, I think, you know, we've heard from the beginning of this that, you know, decisions need to be based on data within your community and your local community. And I think now we're getting to a place where we're starting to have that ability and make decisions based on what's actually going on in your schools and in your community. And having that ability and flexibility just provides you a window to look at, okay, we've got a litany of mitigation strategies that we layer on. How is our data? What are we seeing in terms of cases? What are we seeing in terms of spread? Yeah. And be able to incrementally manage those, whether that's being able to back off on certain things. You know, mask gets all the attention right now, but there's a ton of mitigation strategies that we have in place. Do we back off? And if we're seeing spread and we have, you know, we're worried, we can kind of ramp those back up. And I think having that ability and putting ourselves in those in that position provides us more flexibility at the local level to do.
I understand that. And in the spring, there was a certain fluidity to everybody's decision-making process: hybrid, not hybrid, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, no days, et cetera.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I understand that. And here we are in the fall, and it sounds like you'll have some sort of similar measure of control. But in your school district, does the school board make the determination, or does the school superintendent ultimately make the determination?
Well, every school is unique in how they operate, you know, but they also, you know, superintendents make recommendations to the Board of Education, and the Board of Education give feedback on those decisions. And that's kind of the direction we're heading in preparation for our board meeting.
Well, if there was, because the school board did meet, and my understanding was they decided to go with no masks at District 220, no?
Yeah, so they decided to, in grade 6 through 12, you know, going with the option of masks. And obviously, we understand what the guidance is, and we understand there's, you know, parents need to make choices, and there's certain circumstances in which they want their children to wear masks, and they certainly can do that as a mitigation strategy. Obviously, that group and that population, you know, sixth grade is kind of a tweener grade. You got a high percentage of them that will come in as at the beginning of the year that are not 12, and then they'll turn 12, you know, during the school year. K-5 is really the discussion right now, is they don't have access to the vaccine, and that's what we're looking at and wrestling with currently.
Yeah, but just talk to me about 6 through 12, grade 6 through 12, and that is if the students are vaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask. If they're not vaccinated, they also don't have to wear a mask. Presumably a child could choose to wear one if he and his or she and their parents want them to, but there will be no requirement by the school district for any students in the sixth grade or beyond to wear a mask, irrespective of their vaccination status, right?
So certainly we would recommend that our students follow, you know, protocols in the CDC, but we're not requiring and we're not, you know, chasing those that are and those that are not down from an operational perspective. That becomes, you know, more than challenging.
That's problematic for sure. But to be clear, the CDC's guideline is that they would wear masks.
The CDC guidelines certainly recommends masks. And they also acknowledge and recognize that there's layers of mitigations and that districts and local, you know, school boards and local authorities need to make decisions based on what's happening within the schools and be able to ramp up those mitigations if necessary and pull back, you know, if you know, the data is indicating that cases are not creeping into the school. So that's kind of where we're at with this. And then, you know, 6 through 12, there'll be a lot of mitigations in place, and we'll monitor student data, you know, based on looking at test results and move accordingly.
Yeah, right. A lot of us saw the video on the evening news and heard cuts of it here on WGN Radio of that one school board meeting where the determination was made that they would allow any student over the sixth grade and beyond to not wear a mask. You know, do you support that decision by the school board? Is that you? Would that be your position as well?
Yeah, I support the direction we're heading with this. And again, I think the message is mask or no mask, when the reality is, where are we at today with the data and making decisions based on that information and monitoring that moving forward, being very clear with everyone that the one mitigation of masks right now, based on what we know, is that we are going to open, you know, with, you know, obviously recommending, you know, consideration of guidance, but we're not requiring them. However, if we have an outbreak, if we have a change in what we see, we certainly will move in the other direction and require them.
What about K through 5? Where's your head on that?
So that's what we're working on currently to share with our Board of Education tomorrow night. I certainly don't want to get ahead of them in this. We're looking at, you know, options. I know there are districts that have gone, you know, required but not, or recommended but not required. There are districts considering different phase-in approaches where you require masks in certain areas. So that's the plan we're kind of finalizing and hope to present it to our board tomorrow night. So don't want to get ahead of my school board at this time.
But I'm still not clear, just as a matter of authority, what the flow chart looks like there. Who ultimately makes the decision? Who has the power to veto whom on these?
The superintendent makes a recommendation to a school board, and the school board either approves or, you know, denies or asks you to tweak certain points. And
so
that's,
they set
that's,
the policy.
You know,
Yeah. So it's really in the civilians' hands, and it's in the parents' hands, it's in the community's hands, and maybe that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Although, when you do watch some of those school board meetings, you do get the feeling that you may have an angry or vocal minority who badger the school board into a position that might not be in everybody's best interest. It looks like that on TV. That may not be the reality, sir, but that's what it looks like on TV sometimes.
Yeah, I certainly can appreciate, you know, that perspective, and I think we'd all would have liked our last board meeting to go in a different way. There are two very clear sides to this, and arguments and points can be made on both of them. I you know, we talk within our communities about how this can be extremely divisive and how we need to make really thoughtful decisions based on data and information, and let that guide us. And I, unfortunately, that those words don't magically cure the issue that this is, you know, people have very strong opinions.
No, it doesn't work on the radio either. But then have you heard from the other side? Have you heard from parents who think that this is a little reckless?
We certainly have had communication with our parents that, you know, feel like we need to either be more incremental in this or wait until vaccination is, you know, those students are eligible. Yeah, there's plenty of ammunition on both sides, right?
Well, because you have students now going to school who can't get the vaccine, who will not even be eligible for the vaccine, to say
That's
nothing
correct.
Of the hesitancy built in some families. Will the faculty and staff, what will their rules be regarding this?
So faculty and staff are eligible for vaccination, and you know, those that are vaccinated do not have to wear masks. Those that are unvaccinated certainly have the opportunity to wear a mask, and you know, we're working.
But it's not
that.
Required. So the faculty and staff who are not vaccinated will not have to wear a mask.
We haven't even had that final discussion around that with our, you know, our union and our teachers yet.
Yeah. Reading
right. Obviously, having a different standard for teachers than you have for students is, you know, difficult, and so we will get to that. As you know, we've got about a month until we open, and you know, obviously need to make some of these decisions so we're prepared and ready to go for the opening of school.
Guess you'll have to work with the union on that, right?
Yeah, we certainly want to work collaboratively with our teachers.
Dr.
And our
Bob
teachers
Hunt
have done a fabulous job.
Superintendent of Barrington School District 220. Good luck to you all. Have a great school year, and I know you're going to do the best you can out there. Bob, thanks for your time today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You betcha. We need to hear that.